We thank you that we can turn to you in prayer as priests. We thank you that we can hear your word as clear as can be in the Holy Scriptures as prophets. And we thank you, Father, that we get to live and use our gifts and talents throughout the week in various places in this city and around the world where our work takes us, as kings, that we can rule because the Holy Spirit is in us and with us, guiding us in the truth, your way, your truth, and your life. So thank you. And bless this congregation through this time. There are times of disappointment. I just share, even though I let people in on this, that Lois Crump and I had a private little prayer to you, asking for your power that she would be able to attend last night's Christmas Eve service. And she wasn't able to because of sickness in the home she's at. But we thank you, Father, that Lois knows that you are her Savior and King, even though she's not been able to worship with us for a long time. Minister to her, continue to work in the life of Jim. Thank you, Father, for both Caitlin Mundor facing some surgery this week and Grandma Mary the following week or thereabouts. We pray for the medical people that will do these surgery and these procedures, and we thank you for good medical facilities. We praise your name, myself included, in the last month or two, been able to receive from you, your servants in the medical community, to get me on the road again. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that we get to see Mark here this morning. What a joy it is to see him push through the door in the wheelchair here and to worship with us again. And we pray that you'll make him a blessing, too, there in the veterans' home where he lives. Thank you for that. Thank you, Father, too, for that we can, on our envelope offering, Father, a little bit later, for the Kimbos in the Philippines. God, we pray that they may stand strong. We've read their newsletter and some tensions that are coming against the gospel being presented there. We pray that Lanny and Ronnie may remain strong in you and confident in you and the people surround them. It may not just be a Christian family, but the whole family church there may see much fruit upon their work. And we continue to pray that we may see much fruit upon our work here. Once again, Father, on this last Sunday of 2016, we thank you for this year and all it's meant for us, and every one of us can think of things, good and bad, but we thank you, Father, that we are here. And we pray now, once again, as we do so often, we pray for our president in the last month of his leading for 8 years. We pray that you will guide him in the last month and bless his family after that, too. With health and strength, and may they find meaningful existence in whatever they plan to do. And then we pray for President-elect Donald Trump, too, as he gets ready for this awesome responsibility to be President of the United States. We commit him to you, and we commit our other leaders to you, too. And we thank you, Father, for this country that we are privileged to live in, a tremendous country of your that you have blessed in so many ways, not just with good soil and so that a lot of good harvest and so forth could be made, but the whole way of life that has been developed from our founding fathers to give people responsibility, to urge them to develop their lives in such a way that if they want to become astronauts, they can work at it. If they want to go exploring, they can work at it. If they want to become meaningful mothers and fathers, and they can develop homes and develop their families. And all these things, tremendous privileges we have here in this country. And God, we pray as a Christian church that we may be at the forefront, always at the forefront, in urging people to get to know, not first of all the Constitution of the United States, but the great Constitution of the Holy Scriptures, which reveal to us who you are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because when people are know you, Lord of all, Savior and King, they can be the best citizens a country could ever want. And so we pray for a spread of the gospel in our country today and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read to you from once again, for the last time, I think probably from for Christmas time, actually our memory verses from Luke. Last night we dealt with for unto you is born this day a Savior, a rescuer, remember? And who is Christ the Lord, a ruler, rescuer and ruler. Our response, we receive him and we obey him with our ruler and we let him lead us and we in his world. Now, here's the last part of that story. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about him, about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. What I'd like to do this morning is put that next verse up there, John, and are we off? The PowerPoint. No go? All right, no problem. Here, what I want you to do, the singular point I'm going to make this morning is this. God, I've frequently, and through the years, I used to have all kinds of points in my sermons, and then people left and they said, well, it was a good sermon, but what was the point? You know, in my later years, I want to make one point. And the point I want to make this morning to you, I'll make it here at the beginning and then develop it, and you have to just stay with me as I talk. And if our PowerPoints don't come on, y'all just, you know, most of them are without PowerPoints anyway. It is simply this. Here's where I'm going to get to. We have the Word of God absolutely sure in the Holy Scriptures, so that when we hear the Word, we know it's true and we put it into practice. And I'm going to develop that by going to the Christmas story and a few other things. And in fact, the message is right there when the shepherd said, let's go see this thing that the Lord has made known to us, what we have heard them talking to us. Seeing and hearing. We're at a stage where we respond in faith by hearing, not seeing. Hearing the Scriptures, but we have an authoritative Holy Scriptures in our hands. Therefore, we respond. That's where I want to lead you. So to believe the good news because you hear it. But I want to develop that in the next little while. Now, here's how I'm going to do this, and stay with me on this one. Did you ever have something so built up for you? It might be a person, it might be an event, it might be a concert you're planning to go to. It was so built up to you that when you got there, when you actually met it, wow, you were big time disappointed. Let me just share just a couple examples of that. I remember one time, years ago, when we lived in Phoenix, I got off the elevator and Charles Barkley, I was going onto the elevator, and Charles Barkley was going on. Some of you don't even know who Charlie Barkley is. He is, you know, a big basketball player some centuries ago. Centuries ago. Not quite that long. A decade or two ago. He came off the elevator. I was getting on. Later that day, somebody said to me, Pastor Gill, did you get his autograph? And my line, he didn't ask for mine. I didn't ask for his. Because he wasn't that impressive to me. You can do the same thing with going to a concert. Oh, so built up, so built up. And you go for the first time, you buy the tickets. And at the break, you're ready to leave because it is so disappointing. Now, what has that all got to do with Christmas? Well, I submit to you that the gospel comes to us that way. What? Sounds so good. Great news. Good news. Well, listen to this. And I'm going far afield on this one, but I'm going to take it right from the Scriptures, from the book of Revelation. So, then I saw on the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Worthy!" Who is worthy, rather? Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven, and no one on earth, or under the earth, could open the scroll and look inside. And here's the Apostle John. I wept. He repeats, I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look inside, which is really the key to all of history. No, who is able to look inside? Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, now we're getting out close to this point now. The lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Got it? The lion, tribe of Judah, King David, that whole thing. He is able to open the seven seals. He'll explain history for the way it is. He will do it all. He is Lord and King. This is what John is told. A lion, rah, has triumphed. Now put your seatbelts on. Then I looked and saw a lamb. What? A lion has conquered. Don't weep. A lamb. A lamb. And then the next line. Looking as if it had been slain. What? This is the key that unlocks the meaning of marriage, work, life, death, raising a family, going through difficulties, traveling, retiring. This is the key to history. A lamb? How very disappointing. A lamb. Who names their sports teams? Sports team. A lamb. Let the trumpet sound and the band play. Here they come, the lambs. No, we have the lions. We have the Vikings. I wrote a few of them down. We have the Spartans. We have the Tigers. We have the Panthers. We have the Jaguars. We have the Wolverines. We have the Bears. We have the Rams. Well, they're not real. Yet, the lamb from the root, the lamb from the root of David, the tribe of Judah, has been slain, triumphs, and opens the seals. Now, folks, here's what the reason I'm all of that now, and I hope I can walk with you logically through this. The whole gospel story, if you will, comes as, well, this is foolishness. It made no sense. This is makes no sense. And I submit to you that it would be on the level which we have at Christmas time. It would be, this whole story would be like Santa Claus, like the Tooth Fairy, like the Abominable Snowman. What else do we have? Sasquatch. It would be a story just like that. It would just be a fable, except for one thing. Eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses. And now I go back, and since the PowerPoints aren't working, let me just read the PowerPoint again. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing, hey, that the Lord has told us about. Let's go and see. We heard the angels. Let's go see. And you know, congregation, that goes all the way through. In fact, look at 1 John 1, verse 1. Hey, John who was there, at one of the disciples, here's what in his letter as an old man, he writes this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and then he just adds them up, which we have looked at, which our hands have touched, this we proclaim to you concerning the word of life. In other words, it's true. The Lamb from the tribe of Judah. And I want to give you a few more on Easter Sunday. You get the same thing here. And I love this passage. In fact, I'm going to pull in the passage, and some of you may, well, as soon as I mention the guy's name, you'll probably know what I'm going, the passage I'm going for. That's okay. A week after Jesus arose, they were together again. The disciples were together again. And Thomas was with them this time. He wasn't there the first time. Doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Thomas, okay, I think Thomas is being reprimanded here by the Lord, but I'm so thankful for a guy like Thomas. Jesus said to him, "Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?" And that's us. And the purpose of this book, for John, is this. In the disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles, which are not written in this book. And now catch this. But these have been written here in this book. These have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Here's the point that I'm making through this, sir. Because there were eyewitnesses, shepherds, wise men, women at the tomb, the disciples there on the hillside when Jesus was crucified, and then the disciples in the upper room, and then, if you will, they watched Peter, they watched Jesus ascend. And 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that by the resurrection, that many have fallen asleep, but some are still alive. If you don't believe this, go ask them. They were there. They were there with witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All these eyewitnesses. And that's why I say to you, when God puts that story in a holy book, the Holy Scriptures, we're not called to believe just because some minister gets excited about it or our parents said, "Yeah, you should." We believe on the authority of the book, God's holy word. In fact, well, I'll give you one more of this same point. When people see and heard what Christ did. So we become Christians in the light of the evidence that's recorded in this holy book. And we believe for the record's sake. God's word. Here's in a few verses later in Luke 2, this old man Simeon. "Now, Lord, you have kept your promise and that you may let your servant go in peace. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation," when he's holding the Christ child, "which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light to reveal your will to the Gentiles." There it goes, people around the world. "And bring glory to your people Israel." And then Luke tells us about an old godly woman named Anna. Doesn't say anything about her. You know, I think Luke's point is she said the same thing. "I've seen with my eyes this old woman who was only married 7 years and her husband died. And the rest of her 74 years or 76 years, she spent praying in the temple. Now she sees the Christ child." Our faith depends upon those eyewitnesses written down. And in fact, Peter will write, "We were there." 2 Peter chapter 1. "We were there on the holy mountain. We saw Elijah and Moses coming in. And we heard the voice from heaven. This is my beloved son. Listen to him when he says that he has to go to the cross." That's the point. Jesus had just made the point. "I'm going to go to the cross." And Peter said, "No cross for you. Get behind me, Satan." And the very next thing, Jesus goes up the mountain. "Father, I need to, these guys, they're not going to follow. They think that I, the Messiah, have come, going to sit on the throne without going to the cross. They're not going to follow. Father, let Moses and Elijah come. Let those two biggies from the Old Testament tell them that I have to go to the cross." And God answered Jesus' prayer on the mountain. "This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen to him," implied, "when he says to you, I must go to the cross." We were there, says Peter when he writes his letter. We were there. We heard him on the holy mountain. And I write to you, I know what I'm writing about. And we have this book. We have this book, the Word of God made absolutely sure. And that's why I think Jesus says, it is more blessed for those, to Thomas, blessed are those who hear without seeing. Because they believe on the basis of this book, the Holy Scriptures. Let me finish, and then I'm going to give you, I'll get you the power. You got PowerPoints working? We don't need them quite yet. We'll just leave, pull that one off yet, and we'll just soon, in a minute. I just wanted to, otherwise I was going to go through that too. Listen to this one. I'll give you this last one. About, you know, I hope you got the point. Because these people saw, the shepherds and all these people were witnesses to all that God did in Christ. And then he wrote it down, book after book after book, writing to churches. We believe on the basis of this holy, authoritative word of God. You can see why the devil wants to do anything he wants is to get this book. Leave your copy of the book on the shelf with dust to collect. He doesn't want you to read it. And he wants preachers to, if they will, preachers who preach it, don't preach this book. Get up there in front of, be more contemporary, Pastor Gill. Well, my sermon this morning, I want to talk to you about climate change. I think there may be something like, if I preach that, and next week we're going to talk about the cabinet that President-elect picked. What do you think? I'm just going to go through the cabinet that he picked. What do you, and that's going to be my, very contemporary, right? Very deceived. Nothing to say about any of that. This book. We preach God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now listen to this last one, and then we'll pull the last PowerPoints in. From again, Romans 10. As the scripture says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord for help will be saved. There's a lot of rhetorical questions here, so I'll ask you for the implied answer. But how can they call on him if they have not believed? The answer is, they can't. And how can they believe if they have not heard the message? Answer, they can't. And how can they hear if the message is not proclaimed? Answer, they can't. And how can the message be proclaimed if messengers are not sent out? Isn't going to happen. As the scripture says, how wonderful is the coming of the messengers who bring good news, the feet of him who brings good news. But not all have accepted the good news. Isaiah himself said, Lord, who has believed our message? And here's the key verse right now of why I pulled this one in. So then, faith comes from hearing, not seeing. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes through the preaching of Christ. And when you believe the message, then I submit to you, you see God working, and we've seen God work in our congregation amazingly. In many ways, you'll see God work. But faith comes from hearing. Get it? And here is the response. Good. Here is the response, and this is just, go through those in my PowerPoints or some other place, so put them up there, John. The believer worships God like this. And what's the motivation behind worship? What is it that draws us to worship? Here it is. Gratitude. Thank you. Thank you. This is not deep, folks, but it is profound. What draws you to worship Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? Thank you for the Lamb who was slain, born in Bethlehem. Here's the second thing. Where a believer serves, obeys God. What's the motivation behind serving God? Not gratitude. Not gratitude. Because if it's gratitude, if I say, you know, you got to serve God, Matthew. You got to serve God. Like me, I'm so grateful for God. You're not as grateful as I am. That just leads to pride. Well, I serve better than... The motivation for serving God and obeying God is not gratitude. What is it? It's this. It's faith. For example, those of you who... I say this humbly, thankfully. When Janice and I got married way back in July 7, 1972, our focus was what's God going to do? What's God going to do through this marriage? Or when you became a lawyer, Barney, what's God going to do through your law firm. When you became a teacher, when you became a laborer, when you became a doctor, when you became computer geek, no, a computer, whatever. What's God going to do? That's faith. What's God going to do as I walk in obedience for His glory? Even if nobody else does, what's God going to do? You can see how you stay humble with that. Come on, God, work in me. It's faith. It's faith. What causes us to obey. And here's the last one. The believer proclaims God. Shepherds did. Everywhere they went, the people were amazed at what they said. The church proclaims, and we heard it in the children's message too, the believer proclaims God. And can you guess what the motivation for proclaiming God is? I mean, it could be gratitude, it could be faith, but there's something deeper. What's the motivation for proclaiming God to lost people? It's love. It's love. A little statement right underneath that is my own concoction, but I think it's impossible to keep such great news for sinners to ourselves. Would you stand for prayer? Father, I hold in my hands here the scriptures, the written word revealing the word made flesh, and this amazing story that you tell us that you are Lord. And we know you are Lord, that you are King of kings and Lord of lords, and everybody will appear before you to give an account of their lives. And yet, when you came into the world, a lamb which was slain. Once again, Father, we thank you that even from the Apostle Paul saw you on the road, or Saul it was then, on the road to Damascus, you made yourself known to him too, and became the great witness of the living God, Christ, as one he himself says, born out of time. But he's the one that tells us that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing, and it's just stupid for those who think that human beings are so great in and of themselves. But to us who are being saved, it is the power, the wisdom, and the knowledge of God. And thank you for the Apostle Paul's pen in 1 Corinthians 2. I decided to know nothing among you, Corinthians, you cocky Corinthians, because they were, Father, a church that a lot like stuff that's happening in our world. Pride, selfishness. In the Apostle Paul, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And in the light of that, a community of faith was formed, who walked in obedience, who worshiped you, and shared the good news with others. May we continue to do so. In Jesus' name, amen. If I can find my order of worship somewhere in this, whatever song compares, there it is. may be seated, and let's worship the Lord with our monetary offering for the work of the church here and the envelope offering for the work of the Kimbos.